be strong.
Oh,
your help is on the way. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Because in God's place, we have freedom to worship. In His presence is the fullness of joy. We're free. Break every chain. The pastor was going to play that. I didn't know. So I kind of stole his thunder. I wanted to hear, you know, my song. But, amen, we got to give a little room in church. Amen. But we have the freedom, hallelujah, to break everything that's holding us. Amen. That's holding us bound in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We have freedom. Yes, Lord. Y'all can tell I'm a little happy. I'm just glad to be in the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to hurry up and get out of the way because my wife was praising the Lord last night in the living room. Amen. She told me that. Where's Elder Mackey? He stepped out. Elder Mackey pulled her to the side yesterday during breakfast and he let her in on a little testimony. He got a call at the midnight hour. I hear Minister Campbell always talking about that midnight hour call. Well, this wasn't that kind of midnight hour call. This was a midnight hour call of, you better get up and start praising the Lord for what just happened. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. So testimonies carry a little bit. So it's, you know, when you talk about the goodness of the Lord, amen, it's not that kind of gossip that you hear at work or in the neighborhood, amen, that kind of stuff that spreads the negativity, amen, when you hear something as powerful as this, it starts to spread a little bit, amen, and then late at night, when you sit in the living room, I have my wife in there, Jesus, hallelujah, woo, because God is that good. Amen. So please don't disappoint me. Somebody please stand up and share that little testimony. Whoever that was that happened to call Elder Mackey at that midnight hour, can we hear a little of that testimony? I think somebody needs to hear that just about now. Amen. So they can get to work and start to spread that good news of how the Lord's power, amen, reached down and said, I don't care what the... No, I'm going to shut up. Praise the Lord, Elder Tinsley. Come on. Praise the Lord, Sister Tinsley. Like he can and he can't tell like you can. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh, we left Bob Binghamton around 12:30 yesterday.
Can we turn that up just a little bit so I can make sure
we can hear this?
No, no mic's coming up.
After we were going down the road, I mean, it was hazy, but we didn't think we were going to run into any snow anyway. But anyway, as we got down the road a ways, I mean, it was started snowing first lightly, and then as we continued, it started coming down so hard. Mm. One point where we couldn't even see what was in front of us. We run in and out of little pots of snow, whatever you call it. But anyway, as we got a little bit more sitting, it was snowing so hard. I mean, we couldn't even see in front of us. And then we happened to see a flag man flagging down people. But we couldn't see what was ahead of him. And so I think my husband let off the gas for, I said, to around 20, 30, 40, something like that.
Yep.
But as we kept going, we happened to see over in the ditch, there was two cars in the ditch. And the ditch was down far away. And there was cars over to our left. Right? But we didn't see the cars in front of us, which was sideways in the road. It was about 3 or 4 of them sideways in the road. Oh, so the car started swerving and swerving. I said, oh my God. And swerving, so he just kept going. And then after, the car wouldn't even stop. It wouldn't even stop. And he said, I just knew he was going to run into these people. I said,
But to see what happened next, the whole tree, it was a huge tree across the road. I could not see it. So by the time I got to the tree, and there's snow on the ground, so you can't stop because you go sliding anyways. Right off to the left, there was the tree is across the road. I kept going straight, and there was just enough room for my big car to go right through this part that was in fact covered by like branches. So it was kind of as if I went through a car wash. It was the only way that I could have gotten through that. Amen. But it was nothing but the Lord, because I could not stop. So I know about those kind of testimonies. Amen. That's my little testimony. Amen. I'm telling you, I wish that you were there to see what God did and how he brought me through. So I can attest to that. And that testimony reminded me, and I'm going to pass the mic to Elder Tinsley here. Amen. And I'm going to leave space for him. And if after him, for maybe one more testimony, if you feel that, if this reminds you or if anything reminds you of something that you want to share. Amen. Praise the Lord, Elder.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I want to testify, and I think of the song, that it's no secret what God can do.
Yes, yes.
It's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he will do for you.
Yes.
And I'm testifying not to entertain, but to give God the glory, to give God the praise. My God can do anything. Hallelujah. My God, I just want to contain myself.
No, don't contain yourself. Undignified praise.
Hallelujah. But I just want to let you know, remember, we had asked requests of prayer because my daughter was pregnant. And the word was that she had a 7-week pregnancy, and they found out the baby was stillborn. And she was devastated and so frightful, the situation. She didn't want anybody to call her. But she called me, and I talked to her, and we prayed. As time went on, about a week and a half later, they had decided within a week and a half to almost 2 weeks, this Monday, they were going to do a DNC. And so Friday, I received a call from one of my other daughters that was with her that her blood pressure was dropping drastically, and she got a fever and she became nauseated and sick. And so they rushed her to the hospital, and I prayed, God, some way, somehow, make a way for me. Oh glory, God, make a way. God makes a way. My God, we drove down to Bennington Friday. She had been there in the hospital for about 5 hours. Took us 2 hours. I gotta say, that was my fastest time. I made it down. But anyways, we made it there in 2 hours. I entered the hospital, and when I walked into my daughter's room, I could just see relief within her heart. I went to her bedside and I hugged her. And she's trying to hug me back, but she's so weak. And I cradled her head and I told her, my God, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. On my trip down to God said, I told my wife, I don't know what to do. I wanted to play some music. I didn't know what to do. But God said, for a while, just meditate. I want to speak to your heart. And all God told me was life, life, life. That's all I remember, life. I said, God, what are you saying? Am I going to see the death of my daughter? But God said, if you do, you go there and call back life. My God, when I walked into that hospital room, I told my daughter everything. God said, everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. Then I went to the doctor. I went to the station. I said, listen. And I was very discreet. Listen, saints of God, we got favor with God. Come on now, we got favor with God. I went to the nurse's station, respectful and discreet. And I let them know I just traveled down here 2 hours on her father. And for the situation and circumstance that she's in, can you some way expedite your time? And they said, the doctor's on the phone. As soon as he gets off the phone, and we have so many patients, and here's something else. They said, we have so many heart patients here, we're trying to send them to the heart hospital. But the hospital that deals with the heart and the heart attacks is full, and they're rejecting the patient. The Bible says that men's heart shall fail them because of fear. But amen, I left the nursing station, the doctor's on the phone, I walked back to the room. And I went back out and I saw he was off the phone. I just said, you know, where's the doctor? He said, he's coming. Within almost 20 minutes, he was in the room. They start getting things moving. But don't you know, for some reason, they said, we want to do an ultrasound. And they took her out and went and did an ultrasound. And when she came back, she was crying. So first of all, we thought something was wrong, but she was crying. And she said that evening, they were going to do an emergency, DNC. Yeah. But she came back crying. She said, they're not doing a DNC. Yeah. She said, because there's a heartbeat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there's a heartbeat. Oh, God. That's the kind of God we serve.
Hallelujah.
We must have. That's the kind of trust we must have in God. God can do anything. My God, she said, there's a heartbeat. And she opened up and showed us the photo of the baby. And she said, while we were in the room and they were doing the sonogram, she said, the nurses kept looking, resting her chin in her face and shaking her head. So my daughter became fearful and she felt something was wrong. She asked the nurse what's wrong, and the nurse didn't say anything. She just went back and looked at the sonogram, and she leaned against the wall again with her hand in her head in her hand and shaking her head. And my daughter said, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she took the monitor and put it in her face and said, there's a heartbeat. She got up and walked out of the hospital. The only thing that was wrong, she had a minor urinary tract infection. But oh my God, that's the God we serve.
Yes.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! I feel like going on. I feel like praising Him.
Yes, sir.
We heard that everything is going to be all right.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Oh, forgive me. Like you said, one cancer out of that way. I'm going to make this quick. Yes, we were traveling down the highway, and I told my wife, what's going on? I said, this snow, where's it all coming from? I didn't hear anything. How come the highway is not salted? But as she said, when we got down the highway near Colesville, all of a sudden, there's times I put it in four-wheel drive, and all of a sudden, there's times we couldn't see. We had to put our 4A flashers on. Then we approached, we saw a light in front of us, a police truck, a pickup truck. We saw the lights at a distance, but then there was a man waving a flare to slow down. So the police vehicle was in the right lane. So I was going to get in the left lane. There's a vehicle flying by me. And so when it went past me, I got into the left lane. By the time I got in the left lane, I saw two cars on the side of the road in a ditch. But at first I told my wife, I said, there must be a wreck up ahead or something. But I didn't think anything of that magnitude. And so as we began to slow down, all of a sudden I saw cars to the left of me in the ditch and over the hill. I saw more cars to the right of me and on the shoulder of the road. And all of a sudden, a mass of cars right in front of us, that horizontal. There was about three or four. And I began pumping the brake, and we couldn't stop. And it's though we began to almost brace ourselves, because we knew that this is it. This is it. But you know one thing, my wife said, after it was over, I described to her, she said, how'd you see all that? I had my eyes open. But she had her eyes shut, praising God and calling on the name of Jesus. And I joined right in. I said, Jesus. Just at the time I thought we was going to have impact, I said, Jesus, Jesus. And all of a sudden, there's an opening to my right. I don't know how. I know it was God. I know it was God. It wasn't my skill, my driving. I know it was God. He said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll make a way of escape. Somehow, with the help of God, I ran off the shoulder of the road, went through that tiny space to the right on the bank, heading downhill, and suddenly my vehicle swerved to the left and back up on the highway, a little fist telling, and we were on our way. I told my wife, I said, them people by the king, man, that guy's good. God is good. God is good.
The word of God says at that midnight hour, Paul and Silas just begin to praise the Lord. They just started to shout and act crazy. Just praising the Lord. Why were they praising the Lord? They were locked up. But when they started praising the Lord, started to become a rumbling. Amen. The ground started to shake. The earth started to move. Why? Because at that midnight hour, when they started praising the Lord, God started to show out. Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with praising the Lord at that midnight hour. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for these awesome testimonies. Amen. Pastor, what do we have? Amen. I didn't get the memo. But we got Caraway with a hearty amen.
Testimony. I couldn't wait. I heard bits of it and I was rejoicing. How many of you know that God is in control? He's in control. And a lot of times we question what He does, when He does it, and how He does it. But God is sovereign. He's sovereign.
So he said, God put it on his heart to go there and pray for a prayed person, more so just to be some comfort. Yeah. Amen. And the doctors had done all they could do, and everyone had done all they could do. And when the brother walked in the hospital and prayed for his sister, she sat up in bed and revived. And she said, when you prayed, it was different. I felt a move of God. I felt a touch. I felt an anointing that I didn't get any other place. And the Bible said, if any is sick, let them call for thee. Let them anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. Amen. Let's not be Asa in our need. Let's not depend more on man than God. But he said, he learned a lesson from them, because he would pray for people over the phone, but it was something about being there in person and God moving. So we just thank God, amen, that Elder Tensley and Sister Tensley went there. I told him a couple of days ago, I said, Elder Tensley, you probably need to go there. Yes, I did. You know why? Because I think family is important. But when you carry God's spirit and you know what God can do, amen. You have to go there so God can use you so he can show up and show out. Amen. Guess what? They have a testimony. Amen. And the testimony is not just for the believing, but also for the unbelieving. Amen. So we just bless the Lord for that. And we just thank God for all that he's doing. Amen. Can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on. Has God done something for you? Can you say thank you, Jesus? Amen. Can we say praise the Lord? But we thank God in advance for what we know God's going to do. Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading this morning. I'm going to read two verses of scripture. Let's go to Psalms, the 17th division of the book of Psalms. Amen. We praise the Lord today for just all that he's doing. But more than praising for what he's doing, we thank God for what he is going to do. Amen. Our scripture reading, for the sake of time, we're just going to read verses 1 through 8 now. 1 through 8, then we'll conclude with verse 15 of the 17th division of Psalms. Verses 1 through 8, And then we will conclude with verse 15. Do we have it? Can we say amen?
Amen.
And for those who do not have it, it is on the screen. Verse 1 reads, hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer. That goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sinners come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are evil. Thou hast proved mine heart, and hast visited me in the night, and hast tried me, and shall find nothing. I am purpose that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the whole words of men, by the words of thy lips, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. O God, incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by the right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against thee. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me. Once again, keep me as the apple of thine eye. And hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy light. God, we bless you and we thank you on this afternoon. Oh God, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and kindness. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies of victory. And Lord, we thank you for what we know you're doing in our midst. Lord, we don't see and understand all things, but we believe. And Lord, at this time, we ask you to remove self. Remove pride, remove self-ambition from thy servant. Lord, and enroll me with your holiness and anointing. And we know that we hear a word from the Lord. For this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Amen.
Amen. And you may be seated. Surely we do thank the Lord this afternoon. Amen. For all that he's done, for all that he's doing, and for all that he is going to do. Amen. We're going to get to this. But you know, one of David, I believe it's in Psalms 42 and 43, when he was going through one of those difficulties. Anybody go through some difficulties? Some challenges? And you don't feel, you don't know where it's coming from? And within yourself, you're saying, Lord, I'm doing my best. But the psalmist said, O soul, why thou cast down? Talking about somebody that's in church, but was a little discouraged. Why thou cast down? He said, why thou disquieted within? In other words, we got the Holy Ghost on the inside. Ain't no way in the world. Hallelujah. We should be down in the dumps. So why not just fight within? Hope thou, not in God. Tonight after today, I don't know what any of us may be experiencing. Amen. And as I say, there's challenges on every side. Paul said, you're troubled on what?
Every
side. Yet we're not in distress. Amen. God knows everything that we're experiencing. But he's not looking for the church to be discouraged. He's not looking for us to be cast down. He's not expecting us, even on our inside, to have no hope. Hope thou not in God. Verse 17 reads, chapter 17 reads once again. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear to my prayer that goeth not out of the psalmist, David, this is his prayer to God. He said, Lord, hear my prayer, hear my cry. Amen. Don't we want God to hear?
Amen.
And he said, Lord, the reason I want you to hear my prayer, The reason I want you to hear my cry, because these are not out of fameness. In other words, I'm doing it in truthfulness.
Yes.
I'm doing it in honesty. Yes. There's no deceit. Fame means you're deceiving. And sometimes we're deceiving even ourselves. But the psalmist is saying, God should know my heart. Hallelujah. And you know this prayer is real.
Yes.
Can we say real?
Real.
Can we say real?
Real.
Amen. The songwriter said, Lord, whatever I do for you, Jesus, just let it be
real.
Come on, let it be what?
Real. Real.
So the psalmist is praying to God. In a time of need, he said, Lord, there's nothing hypocritical. There's nothing phony here. Lord, I'm not putting on a show because you know there's nothing feigned or false or deceitful coming out of my lips. He says, let my sinners come forth from, don't we want all of our judgment to come from God? Because God doesn't see like everybody else sees. God knows the truth. So he said, let thy sinners come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are right. Amen. Lord, as long as you judge me, I don't have to worry about a thing. Hallelujah. Because you're judging what is right. Equal means right. What is just? God is not unrighteous. And God does not reward us evil for good. So the psalmist is saying, Lord, I'm real. This is a sincere prayer. I'm not trying to deceive you, God, because you know me. Amen. He goes on to say in the next verse, thou hast proved, Lord, you've tested my heart. He's praying to God, Lord, hear my prayer, Lord, hear my cry. He said, Lord, there's nothing hypocritical, phony, or deceitful about what I'm doing. I'm real. And Lord, I just want you to judge me based on what you know to be in me. He said, now, Lord, you have proved my heart. He said, thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me, and thank you, Lord. Lord, you know I'm real because you didn't find anything. Because I was sincere. Lord, I didn't try to camouflage. I didn't try to disguise. I didn't try to put up a front. Lord, but I was real. Can we say real?
Real.
And shall find nothing. I am purpose. That my mouth, even though I don't understand, Lord, and I can't figure it out, I won't sin with my lips. I won't allow my mouth to transgress. I will not speak anything contrary. Lord, you know everything there is about me. How many know that God is acquainted with all of our ways? The psalmist said, Lord, God knows me. Isn't it good to know God knows you?
Yes.
When God knows you, you don't have to worry about what everybody else is trying to figure out, because he has tried your heart. He said, in the night hour, it means that God has dealt with you through the midnight hours. Amen. And God knows what's going on in your life. So now, Lord, I'm open before you. Lord, my life is an open book. Lord, you proved me, you tried me. Lord, you know that I'm real. Amen? You found nothing concerning the works of men. By the words of thy lips, I have kept me from the path. You know what he's saying? Lord, I've been so real. You've been good to me. Lord, I've been so sincere. Hallelujah. Though 1,000 fell at my right side and 10,000 at my right, Lord, I was real, so it did not come. Lord, though pestilence and disease and trouble was all around, I was real, so God, you didn't allow it to touch me. That's the time to take a seal off. Hallelujah. That's the time to look on your inside. Lord, if I stop right now, hallelujah, and look at myself. Lord, if I take a moment right now and search myself. Lord, if I stop down in my sanctified soul and look at me right now, Lord, can I say I'm real? Lord, can I say there's no hypocrisy? Lord, can I say there's no guile? Can I say, Lord, that you've searched me Concerning the worship end, by the words of thy lips, have kept me from the path. How many know that the adversary has a desire to have every last one of us?
Amen.
And you know, a lot of times in our quest to please people, we mess up with God. Amen. And in our quest to please people, we kind of bend the rules. We kind of mess up in our hearts. We even say some stuff that we ought not to say. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I know, I do. I know, I'm not so perfect like y'all, so I mess up. So I don't know what this psalmist is talking about. But even in all of that, when you get right with God, he will not let God destroy. Amen. He won't let the devil touch you. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? Lord, Lord, I might feel like a cast out of the sun. Lord, I might feel like Jonah. Jonah told God, he said, can we say it's going to be all right? We appreciate each other this afternoon. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Hold on my goings in thy path, that my footsteps. Lord, I don't want to take a chance and mess up. So I need you to hold me. Amen. You should sing the song, I got my hands in the hands. Is that a godly song? I don't know if that's godly or not. I don't know. I might not want to sing that. Is that godly? That's contemporary? Because that could be messy. I don't know. Some of those songs, those lyrics, they sound all right. So I think, let me use the scriptural version. All right? Because when I stay with the scripture, I know that's all right. Amen. He might be still in the water, but I don't know what water is in. Bridge over troubled water, that ain't what you think it is. That's somebody's on drugs. So let's go to the scripture version. Amen. The scripture said, nevertheless, Lord, I am continually with thee. Because thou hast holden me by my right hand. I know that's right. I said, I know this one. Because I'm not talking about what somebody else said. I'm talking about what God says. God has holding me by my right hand. You know what's so good about that? When God holds you, even when you want to let go, God is still holding you. When God is holding you and you want to pray and give up, hallelujah, you won't let go. Amen. You know, sometimes we get frustrated and we try to let go. And I heard somebody say, that's when God will pick you up and carry you. That's when God will pick you up and take a way out of nowhere. God is holding me by my right hand. Lord, I almost slipped, I almost messed up. But I know God had a hold of me. Do you know God has a hold of me? We're going to get here in a minute. Hallelujah. God is holding me. My foot said, well, that's the verse 6. I called. I'm trying to figure out, Lord, when we get in our, you ever get in some low valley? Well, let me tell you about my valley experiences. Maybe y'all have gone through the valley. Maybe y'all been on the mountaintop all your life. But I've gone through the valley. And I've even seen the valley of the shadow of death. But God has holding me. God has kept me. God has kept my mind, because when I look at how enormous the situation was, I said, Lord, I can't do it by myself. But I called upon God in the midst of it. Lord, when I was down so low I didn't even know where my help was coming from, I called upon the Lord. Anybody been down that far? Well, when you get down there, who are you calling on? Who are you depending on? Who are you Isn't it a wonderful thing to know who God is? To have a real relationship with the Savior. Show God. Hallelujah. Do you know we receive good at the hand of God and never evil? Do you know that when it comes to God, the only thing we can receive is His loving kindness. Hallelujah. Oh, thou that savest by. You know what the right hand is? It's God's power, God's authority. That's when, even when the devil purposes to do this, he cannot do it because God holds him back. So God, in my prayer, sticks out the right hand of power and authority. So even though I don't understand how it's going to happen, I believe, amen, that God is with me. And because God is with me, I have the power to believe. Jesus said, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works because of the power. Where is the greater works? Can we say, where are the greater works? Not just in the church, but in our personal lives. Where are the greater works that God said it shall be? He says, thy right hand them which put there. On Friday evening, we went over invoking God's blessings. And the only way we can get God's blessing is by trusting Him from those that rise up against them. Now, this next verse is special. This is special. It said, Lord, keep me as. That means you're special to God. Amen. That means God will do anything to help you out. Keep me as the apple of thy eye, and do what? Hide me under the. That's a special place in God. That's a special place in God. Hallelujah. Can't nobody else keep you as the apple of your eye. Can't nobody else keep you under the shadow of their wings. But God. But God. God told the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt, He said, you are holiness unto me. And I believe it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 7 verse 6. I'm going to paraphrase. He said, you are holiness unto me. And because you are holiness unto me, that's why I don't know how people say you ain't got to be holy. Come on. He said, because you're holiness unto me, He said, you are a special people unto me. He said, you know what he said? He said, you are the apple of my eyes because of your holiness. Holiness represents purity of living. It represents I'm right before God. So he said, you're special unto me. Anybody want to be special? Lord, I just want to be special. I want to be special. Can you go down to the 15th verse? The psalmist is doing all this reasoning and rationalizing and going back and forth with God. Amen. Sometimes it's good to have a little talk. I said sometimes it's good to have a little talk. Because at the end of the talk, you have the assurance and everything. So it'll be all right. The problem that we have in church and in our lives, we talk to everybody else. But Jesus. A little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. Trouble in your life? Talk to Jesus. Amen. Bodies afflicted? Talk to Jesus. Loved ones have let you down? Talk to Jesus. The job is acting up? Talk to Jesus. Amen. Children acting up? Time to talk to Jesus. Well, why am I going to talk to Jesus? Because when I finish, I know that everything. I say everything. I need some all rights in my life. I need some all rights in my life. So I'm not going to talk. Now, my wife does everything for me. She's great. She's wonderful. She's beautiful. She's the apple of my eye. But she can't be like Jesus. Amen. So I'll mention it to her, but when I really need some help, Lord, I get on my roaring telephone. When I need some deliverance, hallelujah, I talk to the elders, I talk to the ministers. But when I really need some help, I go to Jesus. Because I know that he can bear all of my problems. And I know he can fix it. He says, "For as for me, I will behold thy face." Lord, I want to be right. Can we say, "I want to be right"? Now, I'm not saying it just to say it because I said it. But I'm saying, let's want to be right so God can help us. When you want to be right so God can help you, then he says, "I shall be
satisfied."
Say, "I'm not satisfied." Because you're not doing right before God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I shall be satisfied when I... The whole duty of our whole duty is to try to be right before God. The only way we'll be satisfied is when we awake in God's likeness. Now go to Isaiah 55. We do a whole lot of stuff to try to get some satisfaction. Amen. Somebody say, "Satisfied
with Jesus."
Come on, I'm satisfied
with Jesus.
Said he be mine. Comforter, said he be mine.
God.
I tarried by the altar till the Holy Ghost came, and ever since that wonderful day, my soul been satisfied. The world is lost. People in church are messed up because they don't have the Holy Ghost. Satisfied with Jesus. Verse 1 of 55 read, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath..." This is talking about some spiritual help here. Amen. "He that hath..." Isn't it good that when God, we need help from God, we don't have to have $1 million? We don't have to have $100? Amen. He said, even if you don't have no money, you can still come to me. "And eat. Yea, come by wine and milk without money and without..." God doesn't place a price. Verse 2. God doesn't place a price on our help. All he asks us to do is come. Somebody said, "Well, I tried that God stuff before it didn't help." Did you do it from the purity of your heart? Did you do it in righteousness? Only righteousness that counts is righteousness before the eyes of God. I tried that and it didn't work. Then you need to check out yourself. Because God never fails. The Bible says that God cannot, God will not, God will never tell a
lie.
God will never lie. God will never lie. So if God said it and it doesn't happen and you've done what you're supposed to do, who has the fault? Because God never lies, so the mistake or the error cannot be in. Even Paul had enough sense to say, I find
no fault.
He wasn't even saved. He didn't even know who God was. But when it came to judging God, he said, "I find
no fault."
The world can't find fault in God, and neither should the church. So if there's some things that are not working out right, where is the discrepancy at? Where is the fault? "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is
not bread,
and your labor for that which
not?"
You're looking in all the wrong places. You're searching for help in all the wrong places. Your money won't buy bread and your labor won't satisfy. He said, "Hearken diligently unto me, eat ye that which is good, and let your..." He's talking about the what? Spiritual. He's trying to get this, you know what? All this extemporaneous stuff that happened around you doesn't matter. Get right in your soul. If we were to examine ourselves this afternoon, Where have we been spending our labor and time? Where have we been spending our money? Amen? I would always go to God because I don't have to have money. Because if I had to have money to go to God, I'd be in trouble. Thank God we don't have to have Visa. We don't have to have Discovery. You don't even need American Express. All you need is a humble heart. Because the Bible says, a humble and a contrite spirit, God will not despise. God will despise that. When we need help from God, we have to come to God the right way. You're trying to get help, but are you coming the right way? The 17th Psalm said, I didn't come with falsities. I didn't come trying to show like I was something that I wasn't. I didn't present myself in a hypocritical way, but I was real. I wonder this afternoon, are we really real with God? It's not important what anybody else thinks, but God. When the rubber meets the road, when it's time to separate, when it's time to move, the only one that holds our life in their hand is God. The devil has blindsided too many in the church. Because as Elder Mackey said last week, they're working on their horizontal relationships. But they're neglecting their... What's your relationship like with God this afternoon? Can you say, when God has examined and tried me, that I'm real, I'm righteous, no hypocrisy, no guile, and no deceit? It's important, saints of God, that when God examines me, how many want to go to heaven? Jesus says, there's only one way. You want to go to heaven? How many ways is it? Jesus said, I am
the way.
The way. I am
the truth.
So you can't get to Jesus in the lie.
Right.
Hello?
That's right.
Come on. You're trying to get to heaven the way and the truth. We don't know. Somebody said, where are you going? I said, man, I wasn't supposed to go here. You know the truth, I didn't even prepare this message. And I didn't, honestly. But somebody said, you got to be obedient to God. I read a story about Bishop G.T. Haywood. He said he prepared his message and God told him to preach something. He said, no, God, I'm not going to preach that. God said, well, I want you to preach this. He said, no, God, I'm not going to preach that. He said, well, God said, I want you to preach. He said, I'm not going to preach that. And God said, okay, I want you to preach this. He said, okay, I'll preach that. Then when he got to the end of the message, it's what God had told him to preach in the beginning, even though the scripture was in there. That's when God is real. He said he did all that fighting God to get back at the end of the message. It's where God started and all that. Salvation is too important. Heaven is too important. Being right before God is too important to sacrifice it for anything else. There's no sacrifice. There's nothing we can do more than being right with God. When God examines me, I have faults and I have failures. I will admit that, so you don't have to judge me, because I already judged myself. Amen? I have faults, I have failures, I'm not perfect. But God knows down in my heart, I want to be right. Do you want to be right? I'm not talking about right before anybody else. See, when you're not trying to do right before God, you will put on the show before people. But they see a new you behind the doors. When you want to be right before people, they'll see you doing the right thing in church. Lord, but what do they see when you leave church? But I want to be right. Only one way. Only one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus. We read that we are a special people unto God. God, keep me as the apple of. Now, if you're married, you are supposed to do working on some apples. Apple to the wife and apple to the husband. But not more than God. Not more than God. Because you want to be the apple of God's eye. That means that God will fight your battles, and even when the destroyer comes, he can't touch you. I wonder how many of us are working on God. Lord, I want to be the apple of your eye. Lord, I want to be under the shadow of your wings. Lord, in my time of need and in my time of trouble, Lord, I need you to touch me. Lord, in my time of need, I need to have the assurance of Lord, family come against me on the right and 10,000 on my left. Lord, it won't touch me because I'm standing in God's will. And I'm the apple of his eye. You know, the Bible says Proverbs is a mighty book. When you're right before God, listen to this, as the apple of God's eye, he said we will be an apple of silver in a pitcher of gold. What? Apple of silver, the frame is covered with gold. That is the apple of God's eye. If we were to check ourselves, can we honestly say we're the apple of his eye? Can we say we're right before God? John, in the first book of John, in closing, says it this way. Behold, what manner of love. We're special to God. We're not just anything. We are special. Can we say special?
Special.
If we're special to God, can we treat God like he's special? Amen. Like, all right. Now, I know a lot of times we get mad at spouses, so we're going to miss the spouses, all right? But if you got a special child, that child can't do anything to make you mad. Because they are what? Special. That's how we ought to be with God. No matter how bad it gets, we are still special. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. We are special to God, so we don't have to get recognition from the world. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him because we're going to see him as he is. He said, Lord, I'm going to awake in righteousness and I won't be satisfied until I awake in your likeness. And in the third verse of the same chapter, he said, every man. Can we say every man?
Every man.
And that includes the women too. Every man that had this hope in him purified. Well, I'm saved, I'm a son of God, I'm a child of God, I'm on my way to heaven. You still got to work on some stuff. Amen. We have never arrived until we awake in his likeness. We won't be in his likeness. Right now we are in his image. But we will not be in his likeness till we get to heaven. Then we will see him. Everybody that think they know God, you don't know him. Because you don't see him as he is. You won't know that. So what are we supposed to do every day? We're supposed to purify ourselves. Every person that has this hope must purify themselves even as they are pure. Think about that. Even though you're pure, it says you have to purify yourself. In other words, there's some little things. Thank God there are little things that we need to make right. So every day we should say, Lord, I know I'm saved. I know I'm doing my best. But what little things? What little things? What things am I not doing that I should be doing? Because I want to purify myself even as I am pure. I don't care how much tongue you speak and how much you pray, you still hear me. So you're going to make mistakes. So we have to come before God and say, Lord, I can't ever stand. I can't hide anything from you. I'm human. Sometimes we have bad days and we act a little funny. You still got to be right because we're purifying ourselves even as we are pure. Lord, I won't be satisfied as ministers and elders come forward. I won't be satisfied until I wait in your well, the only way that you can get God's right likeness is you have to be righteous. Righteous means behind closed doors. As God examines my heart, as God searches my soul, God will say, well done. You're doing your best with my help and not doing what you can without me. It's time, saints of God, to surrender. The devil is just one by one picking off the saints of God because they have lost their spiritual focus. They're spending all their money and their bread won't satisfy. Spending all their money for why? It won't fill them. Jesus said, when we get the Holy Ghost, this is the kind of God we serve. That the Holy Ghost will be down in us a well of water springing up into everlasting life. But one of the things God told his people in Jeremiah, he said, I have someone against you because you've committed two evils against me. Evil number one is you forsaking the living water. You're neglecting and denying the Holy Ghost. Number two, you've hewn down cisterns that cannot hold water. In the wrong thing. It's important this afternoon to be right before God. If no one else passed us on the back, if anyone, no one else said anything about us, can we be real with Jesus? Hallelujah.